This is a digital Dharma mission recording. All our podcasts are in the public domain. For more information and to support, please visit www.digitaldharmamission.com. Meditation on Metta, written by Dr. H. Gunaratana, read by Rojun Yip. Sometimes, the practice of insight meditation may be interpreted to be a kind of practice which makes the meditator a heartless or indifferent being, like a vegetable without any love and compassion for other living beings. However, Buddhist meditators are strongly advised by the Buddha to cultivate four sublime states of mind: loving-kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity. The first of these is so important that the Buddha said that a bhikkhu can repay his indebtedness to lay supporters if he spends even such a short time as a fraction of a second practicing loving-kindness towards all living beings. The Buddha perfected it for the attainment of enlightenment, balancing compassion and wisdom. The first thing the Buddha did every day, even after attainment of enlightenment, was to reach the attainment of great compassion and survey the world to see if there were any beings whom he could help. These four states are called Brahma Vihara, or noble behavior, or noble attitude. The first three of these are strong enough to attain the first three jhanas and the last to attain the fourth jhana. They are so important in the practice of meditation that they are included in the second step of the Noble Eightfold Path. In fact, no concentration is possible without these sublime states of mind, because in their absence, the mind would be filled with hatred, rigidity, anxiety, worry, fear, tension, and restlessness. Preliminary to the practice of these noble states of mind is overcoming our hatred. Hating is a terrible way of wasting one's energy. Hate is compared to boiling water or jaundice. It can destroy your meditation practice. The hateful person is compared to a half-burned log of wood taken from a pyre. Both ends of it are burned and turned into charcoal, and the middle is covered with filth. Nobody would carry it for firewood or for any other purpose because it can dirty the hands of the one who handles it. Similarly, the hateful person will not be associated with by anybody. Everybody may try to avoid him. Think of the direct and immediate results of hate. Think of the endlessness of samsara and karma. Try to build out impartiality towards yourself, a dear one, a neutral person, and an enemy, and then practice loving kindness towards all beings, including yourself. Sometimes, some of you may wonder, why do we have to love ourselves first? Wouldn't that amount to self-love and lead to selfishness? However, if you very carefully investigate your own mind, you will be convinced that there is none in the whole universe that you loved more than yourself. If you say love so-and-so more than you love yourself, you really are not telling the truth, because you can never love anybody in the world more than yourself. The loving-kindness that we want to cultivate as a practice of meditation is not an ordinary love, as it is understood in everyday usage. When you say you love so-and-so, what you conceive in your mind is an emotion conditioned by a certain behavior of one whom you love. Sometimes you might say, I love such and such a person or such and such a thing. What you really mean, perhaps, is that you desire such a person's appearance, behavior, ideas, voice, or overall attitude towards life. And if he or she changes them, you may not say you love him or her. If you change your tastes, whims, and fancies, you may not say that you love so-and-so any longer. Now, if your love changes in this fashion from time to time, then what you call love was not true loving kindness, but lust, greed, or desire, not love by any means. The kind of loving kindness that we want to cultivate through meditation doesn't have any ulterior motive or an opposite. Therefore, the love-hate dichotomy does not apply to loving kindness, which does not become hate at any time. This loving kindness, cultivated through wisdom or mindfulness, will not change into hate because of circumstantial changes. It is a natural faculty, but hidden under the heap of greed, hatred, and ignorance. We have to find it within ourselves and cultivate it mindfully. Nobody can give it to us. Mindfulness discovers it, cultivates it, and maintains it. I consciousness dissolves in mindfulness when loving kindness is discovered. Because of our selfishness, we hate some people. We want to live in certain ways, do certain things in certain ways, perceive things that we desire most. But if we don't attain them the way we wish them, we resent them and become completely unmindful of the fact that those things that we don't desire have the same right to exist as we do. No human being can be totally devoid of loving kindness, no matter how cruel he or she may appear to be. The loving kindness hidden in each person should be brought out through skillful means. Mindful observation of one's own mental states can pick up this particular wave of mental force and then begin to generate a further force of loving kindness. No other force can bring us happiness as loving kindness does. When we meditate, what happens is that our mind and body becomes naturally, not artificially relaxed. In contrast, the artificial relaxation of drugs or alcohol disappears when the effect of chemical intake is worn out. It may even cause some side effects, such as dependency or some other physical and psychological harm. But the relaxation that we cultivate through the practice of meditation does not produce any side effects. Neither does it do any physical damage, nor does it make us dependent upon it. As our sleepiness and drowsiness are replaced by alertness, doubt by confidence, hatred by joy, restlessness and worry by happiness, not only do we relax, but also our hidden loving kindness shows itself, making us more peaceful and more happy. In this state of meditation, we gain concentration and overcome our greed. Therefore, to pick up one's own mind wave of loving kindness, one must tune oneself up through the practice of meditation. Meditation destroys hatred and cultivates loving kindness, which in turn supports our practice of meditation. Together, these two function in unison, culminating in gaining concentration. Mindful observation of our own individual mental states can show us how certain thought waves are harmful, destructive, and make us feel miserable. As we observe our own mental states, and as we notice peaceful thought waves and destructive thought waves, we also notice our minds rejecting that which is harmful. We don't learn this from books or teachers or friends or enemies, but from our own practice and experience. We learn from this experience to cultivate those thoughts that are peaceful and learn to reject or not to cultivate those that are harmful to our own peace. When the harmful thoughts arise, we learn not to entertain them. And when peaceful thoughts arise, we let them grow and remain in our minds much longer. This way, we learn from our own experience how to think more healthily. In this way, we condition ourselves to the almost involuntary occurrence of loving kindness in our mind. Then, we can cultivate it intentionally. This means that peaceful thought waves that at first appear in our mind by themselves can, later on, be generated intentionally. This way, we discover within ourselves that love does not come from outside, though environmental and circumstantial factors play an important role in helping us cultivate loving-kindness. Loving-kindness is called metta in Pali, Maitri in Sanskrit. Perhaps the reason why this emotion is called so is that it is a very warm feeling for beings. Warmth comes from the sun, which is called Mitra in Vedic literature. One who has a warm heart towards us is called in Pali and Sanskrit Mitta or Mitra. And the nature of Mitta or Mitra is Metta or Maitri. Just as the sun shines on any object in the world, Metta or Mitra pervades all beings without any discrimination. The Buddha had cultivated loving-kindness to such an extent that he loved Devadatta, his bitterish enemy who tried many times to kill him. Angulimala, a highway robber who came to kill him. Dhanapala, an elephant that came to kill him. And his own son Rahula alike. It is such loving-kindness guided by mindfulness that allows us to live in peace and harmony. The one who practices loving-kindness does not get angry if he does not receive any form of favor in return from beings to whom he radiates his loving-kindness, because he has no ulterior motive when he radiates loving-kindness towards them. However, loving-kindness or metta cannot be cultivated by mere repetition of words of loving-kindness. Repetition of such a formula is very much like repeating a prescription to a patient or repeating a menu in a restaurant. Repeating a list of things will never produce the things themselves. Loving-kindness is something we have to cultivate in our own minds by ourselves. As we pointed out earlier, loving-kindness begins to develop through meditation. When the mind is relaxed, the meditator is able to forgive and forget any offense committed against him or her. If one tries to practice metta without tranquility, samatha, or insight, vipassana, meditation, one will not be able to succeed. Love or friendliness cultivated through samatha meditation is not permanent because samatha achievements can be only temporary. Friendliness cultivated through vipassana is perpetual because the qualities cultivated by vipassana take deep root in one's mind. Vipassana meditation softens the mind, and friendliness cultivated along with or even after the softening of the mind, will take deep root in the mind. The Vipassana meditator sees the impermanence in his form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. He compares the changes of these aggregates with those of others. Then, he does not see any permanent thing in him or in others for him to hate. If he asks himself whom he hates, he may not find any individual to hate. By the same token, he may not find any being towards whom he can cultivate loving-kindness too. All he perceives is the phenomena of changes that take place in his own state of affairs and that of others. These enable him to forgive and forget the offences that others have committed towards him or towards his friends or relatives. Therefore, although meditation appears to some people as something that is very selfish, it is the real thing that genuinely develops our noble qualities which we can promote peace and happiness. Nevertheless, this peace and happiness cannot be given to others if they do not prepare the ground for them, or if we do not have them within ourselves.